Jules Eaton from Old Dominion University, and she's going to be talking about simulation.
Okay, let's see if this works. Good afternoon, everyone. You all awake? Dinner time? Happy hours, pretty soon, 5 o'clock. All right. Hi, my name is Phyllis Eaton, like she said, and I'm from Old Dominion University School of Nursing. And today I'm going to be talking about simulation and how, in this particular project of preparing students to care for the diverse populations in the community. And this is particular to the undergraduate program. But first, I have to give a shout out to my colleagues. I want to recognize one that's in the audience, Ms. Kay Palmer. She's also part of the project. And our other ladies, Richard Dean Benjamin, Phyllis Barham, Carolyn Rutledge, and don't forget Lynn Wiles, who are not here today with us. I hit the glass here. All right. Let me just click. I have a disclosure. I don't have any personal interest into it, but this particular project is funded by a HRSA grant, Educating Culturally Competent Baccalaureate Nurses. I also want to talk about two things, our objectives that I'm going to be covering, and I'm sorry, but I'm blind here. The first one is I'm going to describe how the use of simulation will enhance cultural competency through increasing community-based cultural encounters. And the second one is to discuss the implications of culturally diverse simulation experiences. Okay. I think I have to do this. So first off, there we go. Okay, now I figured that out. Can do simulation, but can't run the computer here. How did we come up with the idea of simulation experience? Well, first thing is that we wanted to transform the average everyday classroom experience to an open, unbound type of activity. We wanted to move from more of the knowledge and comprehension type of activity to an encounter experience. So also we wanted to increase the time of availability in terms of the usage for the student. Instead of being a one-time, if you're in the classroom, you got the experience, and if you didn't show up to class today, oh, well, too bad, you didn't get it. So we wanted to do it to at any time and so that they can maybe do it a repetitive type. Okay. I don't think I have this down pat, but I'm getting it. The second thing is our project concept. We wanted a safe place for our students to practice. We started initially with a paper and pencil kind of vignettes about the patient, and then we were trying to move towards, in which we have, vignettes that interact with the patient. How did this develop? This concept develop. As a metaphor suitable to the health sciences, particularly nursing, we established what we call Monarch General Hospital, and we name it after our mascot, the Monarch, so that's why we got that, okay, if you were wondering. It was initially implemented in 1999 as a virtual full-service acute care center. It was a learning platform offering a safe place for students to learn. In this environment, the pencil and paper kind of case studies and vignettes about the particular patient help the students conceptualize the application of knowledge to practice. So it seemed to us natural progression that we put this hospital online and have the students interact with virtual patients. Some of the clinical challenges that the students face vary due to their expertise and talent. Some may be adept at memorization, some students excel in communication, some are proficient with hands-on types of skills. However, many enter the nursing program with little or no experience in a healthcare setting. Attempting to step into a practice arena made up of multidisciplinary participants with different skill sets and using nursing discipline-specific vocabulary. Beginning nursing students sometimes, if not always, have difficulty in envisioning how a concept under discussion is actually applied. And some students may become disillusioned when the reality of current nursing practices conflicts with media portrayal. They can have this increased level of anxiety around the inability to, the ability to interact with patients, families, and staff. To know when to seek help and fear the actual harming the patient. So, what happens here is that with to decrease anxiety, we have decided that a repetitive practice with the Monarch General Hospital virtual patients help to decrease the anxiety associated with the initial interactions with patients. It has also integrated the virtual online encounter that I'm going to be talking about in a second, is also paired with what we call a standardized patient. And this together provides a safe learning environment, which I'm also going to be talking about in a second, the standardized patient. So, what is Monarch General Hospital? Well, it's a virtual learning platform housed on the web, and it's really state-of-the-art hospital. It has four stories. Two of the areas are the ambulatory clinics, and I'm a clinical nurse specialist, so I put that in there, the psych unit here. But it has a variety of units that the students can access, and it's unique in that it has like a login and a password, just like if you wanted to check your bank account type of thing. You can check it from home. You can check it from here if you can get internet. And they can also check it from anywhere and go on the web and access Monarch General Hospital. Okay, and this is a little diagram of our Monarch General there, their first floor there, and that's a floor, and they can select a floor plan. It can go the first or second, third, fourth, et cetera, and visit whatever particular clinic or unit that their activity directs them to. And there's a sign-in, et cetera, and cultural encounters added to the learning environment. And there's a variety of different patients that you'll be seeing here in the next couple slides that the students interact with. So we have the Monarch General Hospital, but we also have a diverse population in terms of the students are able to access. And as you can see, a couple of our patients here, the one that I'm going to be specifically talking about is our John Tall Chief, and he's a Native American with mental illness. We have Bradley Baker, who is a double knee, below the knee, amputation, who's also a military vet. We also have another lady called Viola Ayers, and she's an African American female who has gallbladder disease. And she's actually used in two of our courses. The first time that the students actually interact with a virtual encounter, it would be in their first nursing course where they do a type of comprehensive assessment, and they use this particular lady. And then also we use her again when she decompensates in one of our med-surg courses. And I know you're wondering, what is this? How do we do this and what's happening? Well, let's start from the beginning. We introduce the students in the very beginning of the nursing program to our Mundo family. Okay, how do we come up with that? Our Mundo means... anybody? World, okay, in Spanish. So we have a kind of an eclectic kind of a family gathering. We decided on, I think I'm bending over here, we decided on a wedding versus a funeral for family gatherings because it's what? A more positive type of interaction. And actually, we create this kind of scenario regarding the various cultures of the families. And you can see here we have Laura, the bride, and Jose, the groom, he's also military. And then we have a variety of people here, Jamal, the ring bearer. And you will see these people later on in various scenarios throughout the nursing program, because this goes throughout, it starts in the beginning in our sophomore level, and it proceeds all the way through to graduation. So these people you will see again. And then this time they will have a particular illness or some type of condition, and at least it's in the beginning where the nursing students see it as more of a friendly kind of, almost a atmosphere of positive types of being. I'm going through fast. Okay, so this brings us to my particular patient that I'm going to be talking about, and this is our virtual cultural encounter. Virtual cultural encounters. How do we develop this particular virtual encounter? Well, we used the services and partnered with the Teresa A. Thomas Professional Skills and Teaching Assessment Center at our local Eastern Virginia Medical School, which is right down the street from us. And we utilized their particular actors for video clips. Okay. So this particular encounter exposes the student to a mentally ill client, and not only to mental illness, but also to how various cultures view mental illness. Again, this is John Tallchief, an American Indian, and he has schizophrenia. This exposure takes place in the community setting of a mental health clinic. So, how does this work? All right, this virtual cultural encounter. It's not easy, but it's easy. It's easy for the students because it's accessible online through the Monarch General Hospital. The patient is John Tallchief, okay? And in this particular case, the students for this course is given an assignment. And our particular assignment for this course is to have the students complete a mental status examination. And as you can see, this is a psychiatric nursing course, so this is comparable to what they need to learn. And these are one of the skills that they have to be fairly proficient at prior to getting to the actual clinical setting, because they have limited time in our psych rotation to interact with the patient. So what they do is they type in a particular question that they want to ask them, and it's in regards to the mental status exam. And then the patient actually verbally responds back to them. The lexicon for activating the video response is developed by the School of Nursing. And these are the responses that would be said by a patient who had schizophrenia, or any of the particular disease process that we're going to be covering. And as you can see in our next particular slide here, how it looks. We tried to get the snippet on here, but I didn't think it would kind of come up here. But the student types in, do you feel like you want to hurt yourself or anyone else? And then the verbal response would be, I don't want to hurt anyone. I sometimes think it might be better off if I'm not here anymore. And along with this, and you see the printed piece up here, okay? So you can read it. I can read it with my inflections. I can read it with my affect, my mood, et cetera. But when they actually see the patient kind of display their particular affect, their mood, their paranoia, it really gives, and I'm very visual with my hands here, it really gives them the feeling about, what is actually occurring, not only the verbal part. And for the longest time, we've been, doing the case scenarios and having the written kind of verbal reactions back, but now we get the actual nonverbals. And because it's an actor and we've developed a script, and we actually worked with the actor beforehand, I wrote the script up, and I knew what the kind of questions that the students needed to ask. And so the actor actually taped their responses. And we wanted to portray a particular kind of an actual patient who has had some type of, hallucinations, who's having delusions, etc. And that we were hoping that it would be able to be conveyed via the video part versus just what there was spoken. So what happens then? Okay, the student has to then take their particular question that they asked their client, in this particular case it was John Tallchief, and they write down their response, okay, the patient's response. They the previous clip that I showed, and we'd write it down. And then the student would also put down the analysis piece. And if anybody's familiar back way back when you did the interpersonal process recording, we actually do that with this particular scenario. So it is, we do that in the clinical setting also, but this way it prepares them prior to going to the clinical, and it gives them that ability to practice. And they can practice anytime. And if they don't get the right answer, you know, and if he'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. And so they have to rephrase their question, and it gives them time to think about how should I say this. And they actually record what they're saying and what the responses are, so that I, as the faculty member, can look at it. And then we at one-to-one mentor them, and it's used as a clinical kind of assignment. Okay. So the one other unique piece to this is the cultural, the virtual cultural knowledge. At the end of it, the actor actually steps out of the role and actually provides information about their particular culture. And as you can see, he steps out of his role, he takes off his wig, and he says, hey, hello, my name is, you know, and I, you know, represent an American Indian man and take this opportunity, etc. And he goes down and proceeds to tell them about mental health issues for the Native American. Also, not only mental health issues, but health issues too. And we provide references in regards to that. So the student's actually learning through this encounter and gaining the knowledge. The next piece I like to talk about is like the third component in what we do. Not only do we do the in-class kind of assignments that are standard, we do the online virtual encounter, we do a third thing, and that is called the standardized patient assignment. And in this particular assignment, we actually have the actors from the EVMS come by, and we do a one-to-one interaction, and the students actually have to interview this particular patient. And they're coming into, say, a mental health clinic is the scenario, and they are given the task to do a psychiatric nursing assessment, which includes not only the mental status exam, but also the psychosocial aspects of the nursing assessment. And it's a wonderful experience because that they actually use the skills that they've learned prior, and now we're just building on it. And we get feedback from the standardized patient. The actor at the end of their exercise will talk with the student and say, hey, when you said this, I felt this. Is there any way that you might want to change this? Or the student can say, how did I say this, and et cetera. Also, we DVD it, so that allows us the opportunity to what? To have the student review it and critique it. And I got the time here. Okay, I love this part. So let's go on here. Benefit of simulation experience. Repetitive encounters, we can do it over and over again. It's planned culturally sensitive patient care from information gathered. And we share it, and we share it in our clinical groups, you know, with other students, and how do they interact, how do they do. We also did some type of testing. We did a pre and post type of measures regarding understanding and attitudes towards mental illness, and I did it during the summer with my particular course, and I actually am doing it this semester. And the qualitative data suggests that there's positive attitude, an increased positive attitude towards mental illness, and also the biggest one, which I'm really positive about, is the increased confidence. And if anybody knows anything about psych patients and your first experience with a psych patient, it's usually very scary. And so they felt a little more comfortable. And actually, from the summer program, my clinical faculty said that this is the best group that they've had in terms of feeling prepared and feeling confident in their experience clinical. So as you can see, it just summarizes what we do, an introduction to a multicultural wedding. We have this online type of virtual simulation experience coupled with the standardized patient allows us to practice more in the community setting and to become competent culturally. Summary, what did the students gain? They gained a variety of things. One of the things is through the repetitive types of experiences and the virtual practice setting for nursing students has allowed the students a unique opportunity to gain appreciation, peer collaboration, to hone critical thinking skills, develop relationship and management styles, and become stakeholders in their education. They also, which is I think also most important, increase their confidence as a novice nurse, both in execution and fundamental skills and in the use of technology. And for the faculty, because it's also very important for us to recognize how is this helpful for us. Use of the interactive MGH patients allows faculty to grade for accuracy in both process and presentation. The repetition of interviewing patients throughout the semester allows the student to become adept at the mental status exam and allows the faculty to determine the student accuracy, providing feedback and corrections. Repetitive practice allows students to become proficient in gathering specific data and then communicating the information accurately in a concise manner in live practice settings. So, saying that, I will hold questions to the end. Thank you.
Okay, our next speaker will be Catherine Lewis from the University of Hartford. And she'll be talking about sharing knowledge, creating alliances, crossing borders to improve public health.